whatever you call him, Father Christmas, Santa, Saint Nick, Papa Noel, it's a bit strange to see him pop up in Narnia in the stories and in the film. And it's even stranger to see him featuring on a Sunday morning in church. What we do know for sure is that he definitely does not appear in the Bible. But when he pops up to surprise the Pevensey children in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, there are echoes of a biblical character who first makes an appearance during Advent. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and he was born just before Jesus, and you can find that story in Luke chapter 1. And there's a few similarities between Santa and John the Baptist that maybe we've never noticed or picked up on before. Just like Santa Claus, John the Baptist is a bit of a mysterious figure. He lived on the outskirts of society, away from other people. He even wore funny clothes. We read in Mark chapter 1 that John the Baptist wore clothing made from camel hair and a leather belt around his waist. Now, who can tell me what Father Christmas always knows about children? What does he know? Whether you've been naughty or nice, thank you, Elizabeth. Well, John also noticed bad behaviour in people. And his role was to tell people to start being good and to return to God. And they symbolised this by being baptised. And we read that in the passage in Luke chapter 3. And just like Father Christmas, John pops up as a forerunner to the main event. The main man is not John himself. The main man in Narnia is not Santa Claus. They come to tell of the main person, the main event, Jesus. In the books, the film, it's Aslan, the lion. The ultimate purpose of both John the Baptist and Santa in the book is to bring hope to a people who are desperately in need of it. And we saw in the video clip that Santa's appearance brings encouragement to the children. He lifts their spirits. And you saw the youngest one, Lucy, when he picks up the bag out of the sleigh and she goes, oh, presents! He gives them hope that Christmas is coming. And if Christmas is coming, then it means an end to the witch's long and painful reign over Narnia. The reason her reign is ending is that Aslan is coming and he will defeat the witch in battle. Now, John also points to the one who is coming, someone who will come and battle on their behalf, Jesus himself. And he warns the people, the crowds that gathered to listen to him in the strongest possible way. If you read that passage, there's some really hard-hitting things that John is saying. He's not sort of fluffing it up or trying to soften the message. He really cuts and gets straight to the point. If they want to be on the winning side and the Messiah comes, they should turn away from the bad things they're doing and instead turn to God. Now, the reason that John and Santa's presence are significant in Advent is that they are bringers of hope. They point us towards the source of hope, Jesus. And this, in turn, should give us reason to be joyful, to be glad. The knowledge that Jesus is coming should be a reason for happiness, because actually when he comes, he's going to bring an end to the suffering, the pain, the brokenness of our world. When Jesus first comes into the world as a baby, and we celebrate that at Christmas, his purpose was to provide a new pathway, to carve out a new path for us to reach God, to return to God, because the people had turned their backs on him. A pathway that helps us to get away from the evils of this world. is a pathway that provides hope. A hope that's going to outlast everything in this life, even death itself. And his coming has given us an opportunity to make sure that when he comes again, which is what he's promised to do, we're on the right side for the final battle. That's why John the Baptist is so passionate in urging people to stop with their exploiting, stop with your greed, stop with your selfishness, stop with your godlessness, and instead turn to Christ, for he is coming. Turn to him with humble hearts, be forgiven by him, and walk in a new path. And one of the big differences between John the Baptist and Santa in the film and the book is that the two of them offer different gifts. Father Christmas comes and he brings, we write lists to him as we've done here this morning, and his gifts are really for us. When we write our presents, we've got a few here that come out. We've got Lucas's car, Nigel's sports car, FIFA 20 for Chris, Wayne's World piggy bank. These are things for us that we would like, that we've asked for, that benefit us. John the Baptist, though, he points towards a gift which is different, if you like. There's a different focus. It's a gift that is for us, but it's not a selfish gift. He points to the gift of life that's given by following Jesus. However, in the books, Father Christmas doesn't offer the traditional gifts that we expect to ask him for. Do you remember what he says at the end of the clip? He says he's given out presents to each of the kids. And he says, now these are tools, not toys. These are tools, not toys. And this is important. I think it's important because it reminds us that the greatest gift that we can have for ourselves is Jesus. But all the other gifts that God gives us are to bless other people. God gives us lots of things, and actually most of them are not for our own benefit, but to help others. And actually, sometimes these gifts are not the things that we ask God for. But nevertheless, they're what he's given us. Now, if we look back on our wish list, we can probably split it into two pretty easily, actually. And actually, as much as I had mocked Louise for starting off with peace on earth, and Nigel's Jesus to return as king, actually, that's one part of the list. The things that we've asked for that actually aren't for purely our benefit, but for others, maybe for the world. We've talked about unity, we talked about happy families, about good health and healing for others, about more kindness in the world. We talked about more shops to open so that people in town might benefit for that, looking at our community. And then the other part of the list, as I said, is the things that, you know, the material things, the curling wands of this world, that we want for ourselves. The Santa of Narnia takes what we might call a New Testament approach to gifts. That the best gifts are used for the benefit of others. First part of our list, if you like. Now, whether that's to help someone practically, whether that's to build someone up and encourage them, to give tools instead of toys is a reminder that the gifts God gives us have a purpose. So the question is, what gifts has God given you? What are the gifts that God has given you? What tools do you have? Now, I'm not just talking about what you got in the shed or the garage. What are the tools that God has given you? Maybe you're kind. Maybe you are good at fixing things, practically minded. Maybe you seem to notice when someone else is down. There can be a room full of people, but you're the one who notices the person that seems to be withdrawing or seems to be struggling. These are gifts that God has given us. So how can we use them to bring hope and joy to others? Now, if you're not sure what gifts God might have given you, why not ask someone you trust, someone who knows you well? Say to them, what gifts do you think I've got? Because often others notice things in ourselves that we don't always recognise at first. Who are the people that you trust enough to ask that, that know you well enough, that might see those things in you? Now, when you know the gifts that God has given you, how might you then use them? How might you use that gift to go and fulfill God's command to serve the world, to bring hope to the world, to reflect the love and the light of Christ to the world? I invite you to reflect upon that as we carry on through this Advent season, to ask, what has God given me that I might use to bless others? There's nothing wrong in getting some Christmas presents for yourself. So don't feel guilty if your sports car comes through the post. So they'd be a little surprised, Nigel, I think, if that one does come true. And I'm not convinced that Pat's speaking budgie is going to turn up on Christmas Day and sings songs of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But let's not make it all about us. Let's not let that be the only focus of the presents, the gifts that we have and use this Christmas. Let us, in knowing our gifts, make them a blessing to others. Put them at God's service. Let's take a few moments and just reflect on that. Maybe think about what gifts you might have, how you might use them. And then we're going to sing a